You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure you're going and checking out the Locked On Wolves, the Locked On T-Wolves, at Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account. That's going to have all the content that you can find from prior podcasts, as well as plenty of helpful stuff during games, some helpful stats and insight into the quarters and final scores and all that good stuff on the Twitter account. Make sure you're going and following that Twitter account. And that'd be really good to have going tonight if you're not able to watch the game tonight. The Timberwolves are taking on the Kings. They're going to be in Sacramento. They're trying to finish out well this West Coast road trip. Another West Coast road trip where they have the Kings at home, which it might prove to be a problem. And Matt George, the host of the Locked On Kings podcast, is here to help break it down with me. Matt, thanks for joining the show yet again.
Pleasure to be joining you, my man.
So, diving right into it, the matchup Kings versus Timberwolves. First of all, the Kings are winning four of their last six games, and they have only one loss so far in December right now. I know that the Kings aren't in the playoff picture as of right now. There has been a little bit of a slip. They're 14-12 is their record right now, but they're still playing really well, and there's been a little bit of a mini resurgence, I guess you could say, in the month of December. Is this team, can they still, through December and January, somehow make a playoff push still? I mean, do they still have the juice to try and contend for like a 7th, 8th seed?
See, I'm doing everything in my power here currently on Locked On Kings and just in the conversations that I have with Kings fans in Sacramento to use playoffs, the P word as I call it, to keep that out of the conversation until January. Essentially, you talk about the good start that the Kings had here in the month of December. That's because they're beating teams that they're supposed to beat. They played a brutal 11-game stretch. One of those games was the Timberwolves at home that we talked about here on this very podcast not too long ago. And they ended up beating the Timberwolves, and they got through that stretch, and they weren't 500 in the stretch itself, but they were around 500 record-wise, which was good. Then they get into the month of December. You go on a four-game road trip consisting of three out of four really bad teams. You have the Indiana Pacers were the only good team on this road trip. You have the Phoenix Suns, Chicago Bulls, and Cleveland Cavaliers. The Kings beat all three of those teams as they should, which is the biggest difference that I'm noticing with this Kings team from years past is they're not always playing down to the level of their competition. They're winning games that they should be winning on paper, which is a big difference for this squad and something, quite frankly, good teams often take for granted. To answer your question now, beginning with tonight's game, Colton, they begin a 13-game, what I'm calling, stretch of doom, where every single team that they are taking on is a Western Conference team that's not the Phoenix Suns. So a lot of talent from tonight's game all the way through until January 5th. If they're able to get through that entire stretch and still be around 500 in the 8th, 9th, 10th seed within two or three games of a playoff spot, then I'll start talking about the postseason. But this team specifically, the players themselves, absolutely believe they are playoff bound, and they're approaching, or they have that mindset going into every single game on every single night.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. Dear God, they play the Warriors twice, the Timberwolves twice, the Lakers twice. They play the Thunder, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Nuggets, the Trailblazers, the Grizzlies, the Mavericks. Dear Lord, you're going to find out a lot about your team over the next couple of weeks here.
That's the idea, and they approach every single game, like I just said, they approach every single game believing that they can win. Now, it was a little bit of a disappointing win over the Chicago Bulls, if there is such a thing, because the first half, the Kings just looked awful. They played down to the level of their competition. They also looked exhausted in the final game of that four-game road trip. So I'm looking for a more of a bounce back, establish themselves and establish their dominance type performance tonight and in this homestand here that's coming up. The Kings, when they get out in transition, they can beat anybody on any given night because they tire a lot of the great teams out. You've seen that. Everybody has seen that who has played the Kings. That's why nobody's taken the Kings for granted. But if you force the Kings into the half court, and the Kings have been relying too much on half court isolation ball, this team is extremely beatable. So that's really going to be the key for me for the Kings through this stretch.
But this Timberwolves team very different from the Timberwolves team you guys faced last time around. What worries you most about having to take on Roko and Saric in this game?
Personally, I think this team is 10 times better without Jimmy Butler, just because of, now I'm not harping on Jimmy and blaming Jimmy for all of the issues that were here or that were going on in Minnesota. However, and he's a phenomenal talent, by the way, and good on him for doing what he's doing in Philadelphia. But when the Kings were playing the Timberwolves and you and I were discussing whether or not he was going to be playing, and I told you in that podcast that I would have almost preferred him playing over not playing, because I believe this team is better with him off the floor and without that drama and without those issues. So to answer your question in kind of a roundabout way, I'm more concerned about this Timberwolves team without Jimmy Butler coming into Sacramento tonight than I was with Jimmy Butler when the Kings beat him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. This team, the players on it just fit together better. I mean, Jimmy Butler, when he's on the floor, he's a fantastic player, but offensively, he kind of takes the same shots that you kind of want Wiggins to take in that mid-range. He takes shots from Derrick Rose in that mid-range that Derrick Rose is really able to knock down with high efficiency. Whereas if you have Robert Covington or even Dario Saric out there, they're going to stretch the floor. They're going to take a lot of threes. That's a shot that not a ton of Timberwolves players, you see them needing to take, or you see a real desperation to have other Timberwolves take a bunch of threes. So they slide well into that offense as far as pairing well with what's around them instead of having to muscle out other people for minutes and for position on offense. And so I think that compliment has been really good for the Timberwolves offense, and I think it's helped their transition as well. I think you have a couple guys who can sink some more threes. Now you're able to get your defense set up a little bit better. And then, too, Covington is really athletic. If you have him and Rose, and if they play a they haven't played a Kogi a ton when he's been here, but those three together can run the floor really fast. And having Derrick Rose push the pace with guys like Sarge and Covington out there, really fun to see what that does to defenses, how that puts them on their heels. And it's going to be really fun tonight against a team in the Kings that has made pace kind of their staple this year, and so it'll be interesting to see those two clash.
Cole and I completely agree with you, and to add on to it a little bit also, the Kings' perimeter defense is dreadful. I mean, the Kings have managed to, with their record, hide their defensive ineptitude at times, but perimeter defensive-wise, now we're talking about the jumps that Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox have made, and offensively, they're making a case for the best backcourt in the NBA right now with the numbers that they're putting up, at least backcourt pairing. However, defensively, they're still both dreadful. And De'Aaron Fox is capable of playing great defense when he gives 110% effort, but because of the pace that he plays at, oftentimes you're not going to get that effort consistently on a nightly basis. The Kings' perimeter defense, they give up way too many three-point shots, three-point looks, and really rely on, hopefully this team has a bad shooting night for us to beat them. And then they also, they get blown by way too easily. So look for that to be a factor where Derrick Rose can take advantage, Covington can take advantage. I agree with your assessment completely. And the Kings' perimeter defense tonight, I think they're going to be really put to the test.
We're going to take a quick break from some sponsors, and then we're going to really dig into some of these stats. First, some sponsors. Here with Matt George, the host of the Locked On Kings podcast, talking about Kings versus Wolves. We've been discussing some of the changes, the Kings and their hot start to December, some of the changes to the Timberwolves and what that team will look like as opposed to what they looked like the first time they played the Kings. But now let's dive into some stats. One of the keys that I was looking at was opponents' points against the Kings, home versus away. A lot better defense when they're home. They're averaging only a 112.7 mark at home versus 116.5 mark on the road. So the defense is going to get a little better. But like you're saying, that three-point shooting is where they're going to really get crippled. They allow almost 12 three-pointers made per game against them. And so I think that right there is going to be kind of one of the big keys in this game. Can the Timberwolves really take advantage of three-point shooting and not get sucked into some of the transition defense stuff, not get sucked into the King style of play, but really stretch the floor against them? I think that's going to be the biggest key for the Timberwolves as far as if they can win this game. They really got to take advantage of the three-point shooting.
The Kings are just going to try and outscore you. They're not going to try and beat you up and make defensive stops, although they're capable of making defensive stops. But the Timberwolves have a really unique opportunity, I think, to make the Kings pick or try and decide the lesser of two evils. Do you focus on interior defense and making sure Karl Anthony Towns has a rough night, because we've seen Cat absolutely destroy the Kings in years past? And by doing that, do you open up the three-point shot, or do you try and protect the perimeter with the amount of weapons now that the Timberwolves have from deep and give Karl Anthony Towns all the time of day that he wants on the inside? Either way, it's either going to be a good three-point shooting night for the Timberwolves, or they're going to get a lot of three-point attempts, or it's going to be a good night for Karl Anthony Towns. The big difference that I saw with that Kings win against the Timberwolves earlier this season is that Karl Anthony Towns, who had a great first half, was absolutely winded and tired in the third and fourth quarter because of the pace of play that the Kings play at. So I'm interested to see if Karl Anthony Towns has improved that stamina a little bit so he can hang with the Kings for a little bit longer, because if he did, I don't think anybody on the Kings is going to be able to stop him.
Well, I think, too, we talk about the difference in the team just with the additions, but I think Towns has really found a rhythm. I think he was kind of in a funk to start the season. I don't think the locker room stuff was helping. In the last 15 games, he's averaging 24.1 points, 13.2 rebounds, 1.3 blocks. His numbers are up over the last 15 games. He's shooting 52% from the field, 40% from three. He's just playing better. He's found that rhythm, and he's really been dominant. Really impressive double-double that he's averaging with that 24 and 13 mark. I think that he's going to be a much bigger presence than he was in the first game with the Kings, just because I feel like he is really taking over games. I mean, you look at that Warriors game, he put up a double-double with 31 points, and I think if the Timberwolves space the floor a little better, if they shoot a little better from three, he even puts up more points against the Warriors, because he was facing triple teams in that fourth quarter underneath the basket and wasn't able to do as much. If the Timberwolves can hit shots early on, he is going to be a monster to deal with against the Kings. Do they have a guy or a defensive matchup that they can really throw to slow him down?
Their best chance is going to be Willie Cauley-Stein, and we've seen that happen before. Now, Willie Cauley-Stein likes these kind of opportunities, although consistently gets outplayed defensively. Willie Cauley-Stein has transitioned what he's known for as an NBA player from when he came out of Kentucky and when he came out of college. He was drafted by the Kings as a rim protector and a floor runner and a rebounder. And he has transitioned his game over the last couple of years to, yeah, he still can do that and he should do that, but he's more offensive-minded. So Willie Cauley-Stein provides more scoring than Kings fans expected, but defensively he doesn't block as many shots as we would like. Rebounding is inconsistent at times. That's the biggest Kings gripe with Willie Cauley-Stein, is his inconsistency. He's going to be the guy that they throw at Karl Anthony Towns that has the best chance to stop him. You might see Marvin Bagley against him, although I think Marvin Bagley would be absolutely abused as of right now at this point in his career. Willie Cauley-Stein is the best case scenario, and Karl Anthony Towns has torched Willie Cauley-Stein in the past, so we'll have to see if he can be up for the challenge tonight.
I got to say, Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox against the Timberwolves backcourt scares me a lot more than Willie Cauley-Stein against Towns. No offense to Cauley-Stein. I like him. He's been really good this year, but I think Towns has the matchup here. But where the Kings have the advantage is in that backcourt, I believe. And if you're looking at that backcourt, let's just say instead Teague Wiggins, let's put it as Derrick Rose Wiggins versus Hield and Fox. I think that they actually have the edge. As good as Derrick Rose is playing, I think they might have the edge, because I think of the four players mentioned, Fox is probably playing the best defense right now.
Yeah, I honestly think they absolutely do have the edge. I like what Derrick Rose is doing this season. I'm glad that he's revitalized his career a little bit. He's been a fun story to follow. De'Aaron Fox is better than Derrick Rose is. And then whether it's Teague or Wiggins and of consistency, I would still put Buddy Hield's consistent scoring above that as of right now. Now, Hield had a bit of a rough start to that Bulls game, shot himself out of it in the second half, which was nice to see. What's the biggest difference about Buddy Hield's game, besides his ability to put the ball on the floor, is that his catch and shoot is just so consistent, but he's also added an ability to create his own shot. I say Buddy Hield, one of my jokes is that he's a 99% shooter in gotta have it buckets, because when the Kings are down or they're giving up a run, it's usually Buddy Hield that either hits a wing three or gets in for a layup with a backdoor cut. Now, he's added cutting to his game. That's a really, in my opinion, underappreciated part of his game now that catches a lot of teams by surprise. So keep an eye out for that tonight. But I would say the Kings' backcourt definitely has the edge offensively. Defensively, though, they're going to give Derrick Rose, Teague, Wiggins, insert anybody you want here, plenty of opportunity to score.
This is going to be the most important thing anyone asks you in 2018. This is the most important question that you have to answer from this year. Is Buddy Hield gunning and has an actual chance to take the Heat Check trophy from Dion Waiters?
He might.
Okay.
He might. Honestly, he might. He's got when he's feeling it, he'll put it up, and he's always willing to shoot. That's one of the things I like the most about Buddy Hield is even when he's 0-for-6 to start a game, he's going to keep shooting no matter what, and the Kings will continue to get him looks, which I absolutely appreciate. That's something that he's changed from his game from a couple of years ago where he'd start a game 0-for-4, and then he'd sit down, and you wouldn't hear from him or see him really for the rest of the game. So Buddy Hield has no problem putting the ball up anywhere. I would still give the edge to Dion Wade, but Buddy Hield might be in that competition and in the conversation.
Dion Waiters, of course, the Heat Check OG. So you know we'll talk about this at the end of the year, and we'll see where Buddy Hield stands then. But right now, good to see him in competition for that, just because of how much anticipation there was coming out of Oklahoma around him, and really too, it's fun to hear the stories about how hard he works and how it feels like more of those are popping up every day now that he's actually playing really well. People are like, yeah, you probably could have actually seen this coming because of this experience or because of the way he prepared for this game 2 years ago. All those stories are pretty fun to see kind of the making of Buddy.
Yeah, this Kings team is full of gym rats, though. Buddy Hield is one of the top ones. I mean, he spends every day in the gym, but Bogdan Bogdanovic is right there with him. Now, that's why the two of them have bonded so much and become such close friends. It's because the two of them spend more time together in shoot-around and in practice and in the practice facility than anybody else on this team. Now, De'Aaron Fox is also a gym rat. That's what you get with a bunch of young players and with a young team like this. And that's something that Dave Yeager has talked about as one of the things he's most happy about this team. And one of the reasons why this team believes so confidently in themselves is because they spend so much freaking time together, even this summer. They know how much talent is on this roster. They're the only ones that aren't surprised, in all of the realm of the NBA that the Kings are off to a 14-12 start and they're playing as well as they're playing. The players themselves are the only ones that said, yeah, we know we could do this. This was in our plan all along. Hell, we started to show signs of being able to do this last season versus the people like yourself, myself, anybody in the NBA that's watching this team is going, dang, like, where did this jump come from? It starts with the amount of time that they spend in the gym, the amount of practice that they have. Buddy Hield is certainly at the top of that list.
We're going to get to another quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to some predictions. First, some sponsors. So again, talking Kings, Wolves, getting you prepared for tonight's game. Going to get to some predictions. Who wins? Who's the big scorer? Who's the big impact player? I think it's crazy that I'm saying this because of all the change that's happened from when the Kings played the Timberwolves last to now. You have Covington on this team. You have Sarge joining this team. You have Towns playing so much better than he started out the year. And yet I still think the key factor is the same as when we were talking about last time these two met. Can Wiggins be the difference maker? Can he find a really hot streak shooting? Can he be a difference maker defensively? Because he's going to need to kind of be the thing that averages out between these two backcourts and not give Hield and Fox the edge in the backcourt. I think he's still the biggest factor, and the way he played to finish out that Warriors game I think is encouraging, just to that they didn't get in his head too much, that he was still able to clean up his shooting that second act of that game and play well to finish out that game, I think is important going into this game against the Kings on the road. But I still think he's the biggest factor. Is he the biggest factor in your mind for the Timberwolves?
Yes, and I think he's always got that capability of going off and having a good night. All attention for the Kings, and rightfully so, is going to be on Karl-Anthony Towns and what he can do. So if the Kings are going to throw all their chips at Karl-Anthony Towns and try and stop him or contain him as much as possible, they have to make sure that they don't allow others like Wiggins or Rose or Covington to have good nights themselves. That's been a problem with this Kings team in the past. They'll put all their eggs in one basket, focus on one guy, and sure, they'll hold him to 20 points instead of 30, but they allow Wiggins or X player or this point guard that averages 15 points a game to go off for 25, 26, and there's a difference in the game. So I always think Andrew Wiggins is a factor. Personally, I'm a lot higher on Andrew Wiggins than a lot of people are. I think a lot of people judge Andrew Wiggins based off of his contract and not his production. Because if you look at his numbers, if you were just to take his box score, take his name out of it, and just cut out his box score for his career and his averages typically, you say, you know, that's a pretty damn good offensive player in 2018, or that's a good player in today's NBA. But we associate the contract and if he was too young for it and where he was picked and everything with our breakdown of Andrew Wiggins. But I certainly think he's a very, very capable player and someone that the Kings definitely cannot take lightly.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that I really think that if you have Wiggins going again with Rose, I think that everything kind of just runs more smoothly through the offense. And here's the thing, too, is I doubt Rose really at all at this point. I mean, among point guards, he's like the sixth best shooter just as far as percentage. And so he's playing really efficient basketball. It's hard for me to just doubt that he's going to come out and kind of lay a big stinker out there for the Timberwolves. And so that's kind of, as far as question marks, that one is the big one just because I think that really does decide whether these two backcourts are going to be lopsided or even. And I hope that Wiggins comes out to play like the offensive player that you are talking about and that people remember from certain games and certain seasons. As far as the Kings, I go back to that Willie Cauley-Stein matchup versus Towns. I think that the way he plays on the glass is going to be huge. And if he's not letting up a bunch of offensive boards for Towns, I think that's going to be big for the Kings. Who's your biggest difference maker for the Kings in this game?
It's going to be Nemanja Bjelica, simply because Nemanja Bjelica had such a big game for the Kings against the Timberwolves in the last one. Now, he finished with 14 points, 2 of 6 from three-point range, but those 2 of 3-pointers, if you remember, were deep three-pointers that really gave the Kings a spark late in the game that allowed them to really take over control. It came in the second half. The final score was 121-110, a high-scoring affair, and I expect another high-scoring one. I think it's going to be much closer than what this game was. So Nemanja Bjelica would be my answer for that, but the Kings need everybody to contribute in a high-scoring game like I'm expecting to get tonight. You need De'Aaron Fox to score, you need Buddy Hield to score, and then with that second unit specifically, you need scoring off the bench, whether it comes from Bogdan Bogdanovic or if it comes from Marvin Bagley. And I think you're going to be impressed to see the growth from Marvin Bagley just from a few weeks ago, last time these two teams played, to this week. He's growing every single day, with the exception of the couple games that he missed because of his back injury, which was just a minor thing, nothing major to worry about. He's been growing, and his numbers have been improving across the board, so I'm expecting a good game from Marvin Bagley, who only had 6 points in 16 minutes against the Timberwolves earlier on this season. So I think you'll be impressed with him, and hopefully he'll give a good showing off of the bench. Should be a high-scoring affair. A lot of points are going to be scored between these two teams. I think Karl Anthony Towns, who scored 39 against the Kings earlier this season, is going to have another big performance because there's just nobody in Sacramento who can stop him, even if the crowd was allowed to grab his ankles and try and hold him down. At this point, I think it's just going to be a high-scoring, fun, back-and-forth basketball game, and it might come down to whoever has the last touch win.
Yeah, it very well might, especially with the way these two teams are playing, more opportunistic defense as opposed to really stout man-to-man defense. The other thing, too, you talk about high-scoring basketball. For the Timberwolves to really stay in this game, if it's going to be a high-scoring affair, they need to do better from three-point range. Yesterday, or the other day against the Warriors, only had 25 three-point attempts. They need to keep that number up. You saw the result of that was there was a lot of double and triple teams from the Warriors just coming down, really outmanning Towns on the glass, and that was how they were able to beat the Timberwolves late in that game. Really, I know that Curry put up all the numbers, and you had Durant early going off, and Klay Thompson in the second quarter playing really well, but really what it came down to was the Timberwolves couldn't really operate at full capacity because they weren't spacing the floor well enough, and they were really clogging things up for Towns down low, and they need to avoid that against against the Kings, because Buddy Hield, and if you're giving the, if you're not giving your team more opportunities, and if you're not giving Towns the maximum opportunity to really work against the Kings, then Buddy Hield and Fox and Bielitsa, all those guys are going to go down to the other side of the floor, and they're going to make plays, and they're going to score points, and they're going to space the floor. And so you've got to operate at high capacity. Otherwise, this team is just going to outgun you, like you're saying, high scoring games. And so they really need to do a better job spacing the floor for Towns, because him really having a good game is very crucial to the Timberwolves' efforts as well.
The Kings are more than happy to let you score as long as you want and to get off to a good start, as long as you're allowing the Kings to get out and transition and run all game long. Because the Kings are very confident in their conditioning. They're confident that they're going to be able to tire everybody out. I mean, again, Karl-Anthony Towns had 39 points in that game, looked absolutely dominant in the first half, and the Kings didn't do anything to stop him in the second half other than keep running, and he got tired and he got taken out of the game just because of the pace of play, not because anything the Kings were doing defensively to him, and that allowed the Kings to win that game. So if the Kings can get out and run in transition, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They haven't done that too well over the past couple of games, especially during this road trip, despite the fact that they went 3-1. So if they can establish themselves in transition, get out and run for all 48 minutes, that gives them their best chance to win.
Well, there you have it. Thank you, Matt, so much for joining the show. Thank you for getting us ready for Kings versus Timberwolves. And thank you to the listeners for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.